Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Welcome to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we want to welcome our new listeners on Rapture Ready Radio. Hi, everybody. Well, we live in a very chaotic world, don't we? We went from the tragedy in Nice to a military coup in Turkey, and so many things happening. But Jesus warned us that there would be wars and rumors of wars, but we can't let our heart be troubled because we know who sits on the throne. Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we have had a couple of very chaotic weeks, and so much killing and mayhem. Oh, I've never seen anything like it. Can anybody understand why in the world someone would take a truck and drive into a crowd of people and just start running over people? What drives people to such insanity? What does the Quran teach? Death to all infidels? Let's see. The original version of the Quran, 356, as to those who reject the faith, I will prescribe violence and death as a punishment for infidels and apostates. Now, we can see how history can repeat itself, because at one time, the Catholic Church practiced what they called the Inquisition. And you can see it, for people that have traveled, especially over to Europe, you see large churches in even small villages. And at one time, if you didn't attend the Catholic Church, if you didn't join up with them, they would kill you. They would actually burn you at the stake because they called you a heretic, or they would put you on a rack and lay you down on this rack, and then they would tie up your hands and your feet, and they had a crank, and then they would turn this crank and pull your bones apart. They also would take people's tongues out of their mouth if they wouldn't confess that the Catholic Church was the only one true church. So I don't understand how any real Christians can team up with an organization like this, because a leopard does not change its spots. So they might be coming at people now with big smiles and talking about unity and let's all be brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, it's a false religious system. And they worship Jesus. Their Jesus lives in a wafer. And they eat Jesus. They believe that he actually lives in that wafer. And for people that don't, some of us that grew up Catholic, now I grew up Catholic, going to a Catholic school, so I'm very familiar with the practices when we would go into our church. There would be an altar there, and there's a tabernacle on the altar. And, of course, we know that's Old Testament. And there in the tabernacle is a chalice made of gold and usually encrusted with jewels, precious jewels. And there's a wafer in there. And in there, you believe Jesus lives in that little tabernacle there. So when you go into a Catholic church, you bow down to the altar because you believe that Jesus lives in that tabernacle. And you can talk to, if you talk to some old timers that have been Catholics for a long time, they have to go to church once a week. Otherwise, they believe that if they don't go to church, they can't really talk to God because God lives over there, you know. They believe that. They believe that he lives over there in that church building, in that box. And they have to go there. Otherwise, they're afraid that somehow they can't pray to God. They can't really communicate with God at home because they have to go over there to the building where they think God lives and confess their sins there to the priest and get their penance, which usually they go into the confessional and they confess their sins, and then their penance is usually they have to say five Our Fathers or five Hail Marys or a rosary. Like, what's that going to do? Well, I don't know. Is there any scripture for that? Is there anything in the Bible that says that you say five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys and a rosary for forgiveness of sins? But yet, they teach that. And they teach that you have to go to a priest to receive absolution for your sins. But most people, as soon as they come out of that box, the confessional, they go right back to sinning as usual. We see the Inquisition was really the forerunner to what we see now with Islam. And the belief that they have the one true religion and they must convert everyone to Allah, and it's okay to kill. We've seen enough killing over the past few years with the radical Islamic jihadists and people going into nightclubs and shooting people and people sitting at cafes and they're getting shot. People attending Bastille Day just recently, enjoying themselves, pushing their children in strollers, and they're mowed down by some nut in a truck yelling praises to his God the devil. Well, he found out when he woke up in hell, because that's where he woke up after he died. He woke up right in hell, and he found out that Allah couldn't save him. What kind of religion believes in killing people to accomplish conversions? Who wants to join a religion like that? It's just insane. And they were saying something on the news about when they were talking about Turkey, that there was a imam, here that lived in the Poconos in Pennsylvania that was actually, they believed, could partially be controlling this takeover, this military coup that they had there in Turkey. Now, what in the world is a imam doing living in the Poconos here in this country, and he's has a part in world events and trying to overthrow governments? And at one time, remember, there was a husband and a wife called the Rosenbergs, and I think it was back in during World War II. But anyway, they were convicted, and I think they were actually put to death because they were traitors. They called them traitors to our country for giving away secrets. And but now we have people coming here and living and trying to overthrow our country from within, killing people, hating people, rioting, burning. We even have a former Secretary of State that was putting national security on her server. She had a private server, and sending out emails, which was hacked into. What kind of national security protection did we have? You just shake your head, don't you? I mean, don't you just shake your head and say, what in the world is going on? Because spend a tremendous amount of money in this country on the military, on a national defense. And then you have someone that's so careless with national security, and yet they hold hearings. How many hearings did they have? And she was being investigated by the Attorney General, by the FBI. How did she get away with erasing all those emails now? How did she get away with that? And yet, even the FBI director, when he went to interview her, never even put her under oath. Who gets interviewed and you're not put under oath so that later on, if they find out that you commit perjury, well, you're in big trouble. But yet, for some reason, this woman is immune from following the laws of this country. Yet we know that Jesus said that in the end times that they would call good evil and evil good, and there would be lawlessness, and we're seeing that. There's absolutely very little respect for the law, and we can't, just like I was saying before, we spend a tremendous amount of money on national security, but yet we can't even secure our own borders here in this country. We don't know who's walking into the country, letting in Syrian refugees without properly vetting them from these war-torn countries where these jihadists are from. And they don't adapt to our culture. Some of these people that have been committing these horrific acts here in our country, they were born here, or they grew up here. They went to school here. But yet they never really accepted our way of life. They hated our way of life. And they had one mission, was to take over the country for Allah, and to establish this, the Muslim rule of the world, really. They were saying last night on the news that in England, I think they were saying they have actually Sharia courts, which is a Muslim law. They have 18 Sharia courts in England. Now, why in the world do they need Sharia court in in England. They're not supposed to be practicing Sharia law in the United Kingdom. And so I think it's part of the Republican platform in this upcoming convention, where they have stated that no one in this country can practice Sharia law. There can't be such a thing as a Sharia court, because it will come here eventually. It will come here. And another interesting thing about the convention next week, and we really need to pray for this convention in Cleveland, because the city of Cleveland has an open carry law where people can actually carry guns as long as they're not concealed. And the protesters are saying that they are going to bring their guns to the protest. Now, that's frightening. I don't know how they are allowing such a thing. I don't understand it. What defense do people have if somebody starts spraying bullets? The police department, they said they're equipping the police with, they spent 2,000 shields and riot gear and whatever. But what about the average person? How are they going to protect people that are carrying their rifles and their guns at a protest? How dangerous is that? I don't believe this whole thing. Why did they even decide to have a convention in a city that had an open carry law like that during a convention that's obviously going to be heavily protested? Hopefully the police can contain the people in one area where they're not going to be a threat to the convention goers. So, and why would you want to hurt anybody at a convention anyway? It's only politics. These people aren't God. You know, growing up in the 60s, when I was a teenager during the 1960s, and we had all kinds of horrible protests. Oh, bloody protests. And even they had a protest at a college called Kent State, and the police actually started shooting at the people and shot them down. And we had assassinations. Our president was assassinated, John Kennedy. Malcolm X was assassinated. Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy. It was like one thing after another. And it was horrible. Horrible. And it's like we're reliving the 60s now with the violence and the rioting and very, very strange. Also, growing up in the 60s, we had the drug LSD, and it was freely available to people. But what we were told at the time was that it was being given by this man called Timothy Leary, who was a Harvard professor, and that he decided, they used to say, tune in and drop out. In other words, drop out of society and be a free thinker or whatever. So he was freely distributing LSD, but it turned out that he actually worked for the CIA. Figure that one out, okay? So, but what is the drug of choice now? It's prescription drugs, and the drug of choice is heroin, because there is a heroin epidemic in this country now. You can go to the doctor, you can go to the dentist, and if you have the slightest pain, they will prescribe Oxycontin for you, or oxycodone, which is a form of heroin. And people are instantly addicted to this thing. get addicted to it, and then they can't live without it. And one time here in the state of Florida, I don't think it's so readily available like it was, but they opened up these pain clinics here, and people were coming from all over the country to Florida because they could get 200 or 300 pills at a time. They'd go into the clinic and say, I have a backache or whatever, and the doctor was writing prescriptions, and they were making a fortune getting people addicted to heroin, basically, through prescription drugs. And now they have a massive problem in this country. Why in the world would any physician want to prescribe heroin to people for pain? We didn't have those kind of drugs back in the 60s for pain that I know of, that people were taking, going to the doctor and getting heroin in pill form to take. You could only get heroin on the street. And sober-minded people knew enough not to touch heroin because they knew it was highly addicted. We saw what happened to people that took heroin. They wound up in the gutter, most of them. They wound up, they'd sell their mother's teeth if they could to get the heroin. And I had a few family members overdose on heroin, shooting it up and stealing, burglary, and all kinds of things just to support their drug habit. Now in the county I live in, you can't get narcotics at the drugstore anymore. You have to go to the next county because when people were going in to these pharmacies, they were actually coming in the afternoon, and they were holding up the pharmacist. They were jumping over the counters, and they were demanding the narcotics. And it was epidemic. So now you can't get narcotics in this county. You have to go to a special clinic. And there was a family member of mine that got some painkillers. And if you don't take all the painkillers, you have to bring them back. You can't keep them. They're trying to keep track. But it's really too late. How did this ever get so out of hand? What kind of a doctor does that to a patient? Gets them addicted to painkillers. It's ridiculous. Anything for money, to destroy people's lives just for money. So it's really, really despicable, but it's really a sign of the times that we're seeing over 90 million people in this country are out of work. They tried to paint the picture here like, there's nothing wrong with this economy and we're doing wonderful. Did you ever try to buy anything? Did you go to the store and try to buy anything that's made here anymore? There's hardly anything that's made here anymore. The Chinese are making almost everything that we buy. And we have to put up with the aspirin. I asked the pharmacist, do you know of an aspirin that's made in this country? I don't really want Chinese aspirin because I don't know what they're putting in it. Oh, no, he told me, no, he didn't know of anybody that was making aspirin here anymore. And they have no regulations there. Even if an American company opens up a factory there, they can't go there and manage the factory and do the checking on the products to see that they're well made. We know, and most of us that know that are older and have been buying things for many years, we know that things don't last anymore. They just don't last. I saw a program this morning where it was a show about somebody that had a furniture store in the 70s, and they showed a newspaper ad, and you could actually buy a recliner for $22.50. $22.50. And I know one of the first cars that I had, brand new car, we paid $1,800 for it. Now you pay $25,000 for an average car if you buy a new car. And it's not made here. They say, oh, yeah, made in America, but it might be assembled here. But the parts are probably not made here. There was a fan company, and they were advertising. I think the fan company is Vernado, and it's an old name for people that make fans. And they say, "Oh, made in America." So I called the company. I said, "Whoa, really made in America? Wow! Oh no, it's assembled here. The motors and everything are made in China, but we assemble everything here." Well, that's not made in America. That's not made in America. Did you ever see such an epidemic of dishwashers catching on fire, refrigerators catching on fire, washers and dryers catching on fire, crock pots, coffee pots? So it's Chinese, because for many years we made almost everything here. And so when you have experience, you're better at it. But they're just learning how to make things. So we have to put up with it while they're learning. Remember when you used to be able to go and buy a pot and it was so well made that you didn't see the rivets? Yeah, try to find a pot now that doesn't have rivets. Like, who wants to look at a rivet? I don't. But gradually, our society has changed. And it's harder for people to get a job where they have a pension and they can work long term, because usually if it gets close to the time when you're going to get a pension, they get rid of you. They don't want to pay you a pension. So, but if you don't have a job, you can make a job. You can make a job for yourself. So there's always something to do. Even if they don't want to give you a job, you can make your own job. You can wash windows for your neighbors, or go to the grocery store for old people, or take them to doctor's appointments, or mow lawns or whatever until you get the job you really like. But there's always an opportunity to do some kind of a service for somebody else until you can get back on your feet, because it's no joke. Over 90 million people, that's almost a third of the country that's out of work. That's a lot of people. So it puts a real stress on the social programs, and they're pushing socialism now, like the government is the answer to everything now. You know, we'll do everything for you. We'll take care of your health care. We'll put your kids in school. We'll pay for your college. Well, there's nothing free. There's nothing free. Somebody has to pay for it. And personally, I don't want to pay for your kids. You know, if you have kids, you have to take care of your own kids. All of us have crazy family members. You know, they have a sense of entitlement. And that's what's one of the things that's really wrong with the church today, the harlot church anyway, and the government system with the entitlements, is people think they're entitled to everything. That's what they're being taught. You go to church and you're entitled. You just come over here and give us some money, and you're entitled to blessings. And the government, you're entitled to college tuition, and you're entitled to health care, and you're entitled to food. Whatever happened to work? And then you're entitled. People want to be entitled over by taking what belongs to somebody else. Well, the Bible calls that covetousness. We're not supposed to be coveting other people's stuff because we want it. That's not even Christian. It's not. And yet that's what we're pushing as a country, and it's making crime worse. It causes divisions in families because people feel like they're entitled. But here's a couple things that the Bible says about working. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Proverbs 12:11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the slothful, that means lazy, killeth him, but his hands refuse to labor. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Psalm 127:2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Don't feel sorry for yourself, because tomorrow is a new day, and a new day brings new opportunity. So 2 Thessalonians 3:6-9, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. So those are some scriptures about working and being diligent. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to mind our own business and not worry about what our neighbor has, or take care of what we have, take care of our own families, and we have to get rid of this sense of entitlement. I can't stand it, really. I don't like to be around people that have this sense of entitlement, that they feel like the world owes them everything. They don't owe you anything. You have to make it on your own with God's help, and you will. You will. God will give you the strength and the courage, no matter what you've gone through in your life, no matter how you have to pick up the pieces of a divorce or a death or a job loss or a foreclosure or whatever you're going through. God will get you through it. and you will come out better if you put your faith and trust in God, because the Bible also says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. We're not supposed to be looking to the government to solve all our problems, because they can't even solve their own problems. There's so much chaos in the government. $21 trillion in debt. $21 trillion. And yet they're promising you more. We're going to give you more. Well, where are they going to get it from? They'll just have to print more money, and that's what they'll do. They'll just print more money. So we put our faith and trust in God. We obey God's word, and we do what God tells us to do. We develop a work ethic and do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Amen. So let me just read a couple of scriptures also about covetousness, because it's a terrible thing. And probably all of us have experienced this thing where you might have a nice car or a nice house or something, and somebody comes to your house to do a job, and they see maybe you have a nice house or a nice car. And so they all of a sudden want to overcharge you for things, because they think that maybe you went outside and you picked off the money on the money tree, right? Because they're covetous. They want what you have, but they don't want to work for it. And they'll kill you for it. They'll come in your house. A thief will come and break into your house if they think you have something. And they want it. They want it so bad that they'll actually risk going to jail, possibly for the rest of their life, for committing a crime or a murder, just to get some stuff from your house. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But 2 Timothy 3:2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." 1 Corinthians 10:24, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." 1 Timothy 6:17, 19, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." God does not want us to be selfish, covetous, and here's a few scriptures. Colossians 3:5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Ephesians 5:5. Now, this is a strong scripture right here. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Luke 12:15-21, "He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Exodus 20:17, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And we see that. We see the effect that the harlot church has had on the world of portraying us like we are just after money, that we are liars and cheaters, and we would do anything to have money. And most of the people that we see on television today are that type of person. They're just always asking for money, always selling a miracle, and it really brings a reproach to the name of Jesus. So we have to change things. I know Donald Trump has the song, has the slogan, "Make America Great Again." Well, we have to make the church great again and tear down the strongholds of greed and selfishness and covetousness and say no to it and raise up a standard with using God's word as the sword and tearing down these strongholds that have been established to the detriment of the church. And it has deeply affected evangelism, I believe. It has deeply affected it. So we can make a change if all of us bind together and speak out against the abuses. But here's a story that was in the Orange County Register this week, and the headline says, "Very clear signs of trouble at Trinity Broadcasting Network as revenues shrink and attractions close." It says that Trinity's revenue has taken a precipitous dive from $207 million in 2006 to $121 million in 2014. So that's a big loss in revenue. They lost almost half of their revenue, but still, $121 million? Oh. That's still pretty good, but it's nothing like the days when they were taking in $207 million. But you see, I think the people are starting to wake up to the fact that they're being played like puppets on a string. And they're realizing that they're not getting any return on their giving, so... It's like a friend of mine was saying last night that you don't see so many of the big name evangelists doing these telethons on TBN. In fact, after Jan Crouch, even before she died, they sold the church channel to Hillsong, which now has a 24-hour channel. And also, it looks like... Matt was talking on the 700 Club about selling off some other assets there. So things are changing, and it's just not working like it used to work, where they would bring in John Avanzini and they would bring in Benny Hinn and Mike Murdoch and all these people to do fundraising, but... it's not working so much anymore. It's still working to an extent, of course, because they're still taking in $121 million. But they lost almost $100 million in 8 years. So that's quite a dip in revenue, really. And also, if you look at TBN, they don't really have the Praise the Lord program on every day anymore like they did. Now you see Beth Moore or you see somebody else in that time slot, the 10 p.m. Eastern time slot. I guess it was 7 p.m. there in California, but they don't even really have that Praise the Lord program on it, maybe once a week or so. They're even doing away with that. So anyway, you can get this if you go to the orangecountyregister.com. You can put in the search this article about TBN. It says here that in 2014, when revenue was $121 million, TBN spent $162 million. So you can't spend more than you're taking in. You're in trouble then. But it says here that they had their assets totaled in 2009 $857 million. And in 2014, $755 million in assets. Now, that includes all their real estate holdings and, I guess, their television stations, whatever. So that they're still far from ever being bankrupt, But my thought is, and this is only speculation on my part, is that Matt will probably sell it all off or most of it, and he'll retire, or it's like one friend of mine said, he'll probably go to Hollywood and be a movie producer again, which he made the worst movies I've ever, some of the worst movies I've ever seen. They were terrible. Having all that money available to him and the talent he could have had, the movies were terrible. So he wasn't very good at movie production, really. But that's probably what he'll do. He'll enjoy his millions because he'll still have millions to spend. Him and his children will be very well off, especially now that he got rid of his brother from the network. And who knows if he got rid of him from the will, if there was a will. Usually wills have to be probated, and they are public record. So if there was a will, it might be available on the Orange County Courthouse website, although I'm not sure there was a will, and I don't really know where it would be probated, but it would be interesting to find out if Jan did leave anything to her son, Paul Jr., but that's the Orange County Register, and you can look at that article. Also, there was an interesting story here, Paula White, and she made quite a bit of publicity over the last week or so. And now, also, this is only speculation on my part. Paula uses PR people. She has hired a PR agency to do her publicity. And there was a story that came out about 2 weeks ago that she led Donald Trump to the Lord, right? You know, someone that doesn't know the Lord herself. So she led Donald Trump to the Lord. So this story got out, and then the story came that Donald Trump never endorsed the story, or he's not saying it's true or whatever. So then Paula is interviewed by the Christian Post, and they're doing an exclusive, which I don't know why they want to bother with a woman like that to do an exclusive interview. But anyway, she said, they asked her, did you lead Donald Trump to the Lord? And she said, well, I meet famous people all the time, and they take me into their confidence, and I can't really talk about it. Yeah. Well, then who put out the rumor that you did? She put it out herself, I'm sure. Like I said, it's only speculation on my part. I have no evidence of that. But it sounds like it was a planted story, because then all of a sudden people were interviewing her, and she was getting a lot of publicity off of this thing. But there was an article that came out in this paper called, or website, politicalstick.com, and it says, Trump spiritual advisor Paula White, I work my hips and lips. And they're basically, and also the Washington Times put out a story and called her a heretic, and so is this story, saying that she's been called carnally minded, a heretic, and a false teacher. And she's supposed to be Donald Trump's spiritual advisor. Well, I mean, I never heard him say that she was his spiritual advisor. Really, that's a joke, isn't it? But I'm going to play this little clip here. Now, we know that Paula's hips and lips look a little ridiculous. She uses some kind of a filler in her lips, and sometimes they're so swollen, they're just like three times the size of normal lips. Who does that to their lips? Crazy people. Why would you even want to do that? Inject yourself with some kind of a chemical so that your lips look plump. I don't know of any women. I don't have one friend that would do that. Not one. And also her hips. Paula likes to pad her hips. Now, who does that? Who does that kind of thing? Just crazy people do that. And then who talks about that from the pulpit? Who says that they work their hips and lips? What woman preacher, woman of God, stands in a pulpit with a Bible and tells people that they work their hips and lips? So, and thank you, Washington Times and Political Stick, for calling her what she is, a heretic and a Jezebel. Thank you very much. You did a good job. So anyway, here's Paula using her hips and lips. A little delayed, but it will start.
And I work it too. I work my hips and lips. I do.
Here's the problem we have in church, and this is why I love Pastor Paula. Pastor Paula understands men. I have never served under a woman in my life. Y'all looking at me so funny. I've served under strong men my entire life. God connected me with Pastor Paula. Through a tumultuous time, God connected us. But let me tell you why it's so easy for me to serve with her. Because she understands men.
God gave me hips and lips for a reason. He did it. He did it. And I work it too. I work my hips and lips. I do. An executive pastor over at Without Walls has come over just to show his support and to tell New Destiny he loves us. And this is Pastor Michael Williams. And will you welcome him? And God told him to leave his church. He was a senior pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, elder. And God told him to leave and come serve me. And he's done so. And to be real careful, if it wasn't for my spiritual father, I probably would have messed up my life. I'm just telling you. Because after I went through everything I went through, I was confused. Because you take it personally initially. I mean, I said, what was wrong with me? Was I not good enough? Did I not love on you enough? Come on, it messes with your mind. You know, was I not pretty enough? Was I not? I know I took care of you in that way. Come on, don't even make me go there. And I can cook too, praise the Lord.
And we invited Rodney Howard Brown over because we were going to watch TBN and Paula not being much of a cook. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Thank God for Pepto-Bismol and Alka-Seltzer. And I remember eating burritos. Hallelujah. We invited Rodney and Adonica over, and we sat there eating her burritos, and we prayed and sanctified the food. God, if there's any disease or any living thing in this food, kill it before we eat it.
For a reason. He did it. He did it. And I work it, too. I work my hips and lips. I do.
Yeah, well, obviously, she works her lips because... She's got so much wrestling or whatever in those lips. There was a picture of Paula White on her Instagram page. She looked like she just came from Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. That's how her her face looked. She's had so much plastic surgery that it looks like a wax figure, her face. And so what woman of God talks like that? I hope Donald Trump gets the message. You need to distance yourself from this woman. Get some nice godly men around you. But please ditch her, because you definitely don't want her to take any more publicity about her being your spiritual advisor, and also that she led you to Christ. Please stop. Somebody please get the word out to Donald Trump that he needs to distance himself from this woman, like far away, because she's a publicity hound. She loves publicity. She loves to be in the limelight. And she just makes herself, pushes herself out there. And she said it herself. I've heard her say it herself, that she hires publicists to do her publicity. So a lot of these stories, you think that when you see a story in the newspaper or on the news about someone, that somehow the news media found this story, but it's usually the person has hired a press agent to plant stories so that they can get publicity. And to me, that's apparently what she has done. But anyway, don't forget to pray for the convention there in Cleveland, that nobody gets hurt and everything goes smoothly there. Also, for the situation with the radical jihadists who are mercilessly killing innocent people for no reason. Oh, dear. Do we have a job on our hands as the church trying to convert these people to the real living God, who is a God of love? We don't kill people if they don't join our religion. Who does that? It's just totally demonic. Our God preaches the gospel of love and peace, not this kind of thing. Just awful. But we live in very, very perilous times, and we just have to try to get along with our neighbor. And let me tell you something else. We can't force people to like us. I can't make anybody like me that doesn't like me. And I'm not going to try to force myself on people, to force them to like me. So we can't act that way either. We can't force anybody to like us. That's just not going to happen. Not as long. Jesus said that while we're on this earth, we're going to have tribulation. That's a promise, and we're going to have it too. So anyway, that's our program for today. Anyway, email me, Susan, at propheticnews.com if you have any show ideas or guests that I might be interested in. And don't forget my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. That's available on lulu.com and on Kindle, and soon to be available, the paperback, on Amazon. But also, the most important thing is give your life to Jesus Christ today. Be born again. Repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness. Ask him to come into your life and to give you a brand new life. Read the third chapter of John and read the book of Romans today. Read the whole book. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Receive the free gift of eternal life. Receive joy unspeakable and full of glory. God bless you all today. Have a wonderful day, and may God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.